If you like the cult, not the band, but cult stuff, listen to Cultism. EastEnders isn't a cult. EastEnders isn't a cult. EastEnders isn't a cult.
Right, so episode 4 of the Cultism podcast. Yes, so thank you very much for all your tweets and whatnot.
Thank you.
And the first one is that we're going to talk about this in this episode is by a guy called Ian Todd. And that's me. Basically, I thought I'd put this forward because we talked about Twin Peaks last time. And Happy Town is an American drama that was on in 2010.
Hang on, what do you mean it's by you? Did you do it? Have you produced it?
I put it forward. You know, no one tweeted it. I put it forward.
That's cheating.
It is. But I thought it was relevant in respect to Twin Peaks because it was basically it had 8 episodes and it was cancelled after 4 episodes. Basically, they only aired 6 episodes properly, and then 2 of them got put online and stuff. But the link towards Twin Peaks. It was very Twin Peaks. If I tell you what it was about, a period of peace following a series of unsolved kidnappings is cut short when a new crime has everyone talking in the small Minnesota town of Haplin. The townsfolk are convinced the crimes are committed by the so-called Magic Man, a person whom character Merritt Greaves described as having the ability to make people disappear, that bordered on the mystical. 7 people have vanished, never to be heard from again. As the series progresses, it seems evident that the disappearances are related to an old German film titled Die Blaue Tür, means the Blue Door. It was just really interesting. It was very Twin Peaks. It was like that sort of same sort of town, and but it had
was it a happy town?
A lot of people had painted smiles on. But it was a lot of weird shit going on behind closed doors. But yeah, it's well worth digging out. I only found it because I was looking for something else around that time, and it just came up. Happy Town. I was like, oh, I've never heard of this. So that's definitely worth a like if you're kind of interested in stuff like Twin Peaks.
Happy Town.
Yeah.
Whoa there.
What?
Whoa. You hear that?
Yes, I can. Is it back?
Where's that come from?
Is that one of the other windows that you've got open?
No. I think it's the Magic Man.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
He's playing quite a magical. Nice tune.
But yeah, I think he's enjoying it himself, isn't he?
Sam Neill was in it as well in Happy Town. He was
Sam Bloody Neill.
Yeah.
He was in that other weird film, wasn't he, Sam Neill? I'm Harry Medium, by the way, listener. he was in that other weird film that was all about altered perceptions and stuff like that. I can remember seeing, what was it, Jurassic Park? No, not really. It wasn't that one.
What is going on in the background? Weird music.
That's Beethoven, Ian.
All right, fair enough. You with your classical knowledge. Moldwich on Twitter said the mysterious cities of gold, and I have no clue what this is, but
you what?
Do. I'm too young.
What?
It was transmitted when I was 4 months old, so, you
know. No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
No, it might have been made, but no, it was... It was late 80s on BBC One.
I was too busy watching Simon the Witch.
Oh, well, that's your own fault. Yeah. One day we'll find the cities of gold. I've not sung that very well, but you get the idea.
It sounds pretty good. It's a film, oh Christ, my brain's rubbish. It's set in 1532. The series follows the adventures of a young Spanish lad called Esteban. Who joins a voyage to the New World in search of the lost cities of gold and his father. I'm sure the Waffle On podcast mentioned this when they were talking about children's TV.
They must have done, surely. Yeah, they would have done. It's so brilliant. They had a golden condor, like a big robot condor that he used to fly around in, a bit like Battle of the Planets. It was, I think it was Japanese French, wasn't it? I might be wrong, but you know,
You're right. I don't know how you got that, but yeah, well done.
I remember. I can remember it having like French names in the credits, but yeah, it was great. And they did. I'm not spoiling this for anyone because it wasn't the end. They did eventually find the Cities of Gold.
Oh, it's nice, isn't it? I always like a happy ending.
But that wasn't the end. Actually, I don't know how it concluded. You can get it on DVD, though, the whole thing. The whole shaboozle.
39 episodes. Crazy.
That's quite a lot for a cartoon. But it's, yeah, it's good. Yeah, it didn't just have a good theme, as I've no doubt shown.
Yes, the next one we're going to be talking about is 2000 AD, and that's not the comics.
Oh.
This is a film. A Hong Kong action film. And I saw the trailer and it looked pretty interesting. Basically, Aaron Kwok is what? Aaron Kwok is Peter. That's confusing. A computer programmer who gets involved in a nasty computer virus war when his brother is exposed as a CIA agent. He has a hard time understanding his bad guy seem to be coming out of the woodwork, and Greg's fiance, Selena, may even be implicated. Bum, bum, bum.
Who suggested that?
What?
Who suggested it?
I think it was... I've got all... Moldwich, I think it'll be on Twitter here. Yeah.
Moldwich? What's he doing watching this? I've never seen it, heard of it, or want to watch it, but it does remind me of a Japanese film that I have seen, and I can't remember the name of off the top of my head. Tetsuo? Tetsuo the... Machine Man or something. And it's about this guy who gets like attacked in a subway. I think there is a subway attack in it. It's a little bit like a Japanese Eraserhead, where a man gets a chip sort of implanted in him and turns into this rampaging metal monster. Tetsuo the something man it is.
That's right.
Then I have to look it up.
It's when you've got a title like 2000 AD, you're always going to be, oh, you mean the comics and all that. It's always going to be people going, oh, because it's not the most kind of original title, I suppose.
No. Tetsuo the Iron Man. Oh, God. I can't believe I didn't remember that.
It's a good title, you know. Yeah. It lures you in, you know. I do apologise if it wasn't Mulwich on Twitter who put forward 2000 AD and the next one, Beavis and Butthead.
I don't apologise.
But anyway, Beavis and Butthead, there's another one. I was never into it when I was a kid.
Really?
Nah, I think it was just a little bit, I don't know, maybe it was just a bit too young for it when everyone was getting into it.
What, in 1992? Yeah, you might have been.
Yeah, so I kind of saw bits of it, and I played a game where you basically had to spit off a roof. Called the Loogie game or something, which was a Beavis and Butthead game. Which was quite interesting, but yeah, I never quite got it because I think I was just maybe a bit too young. Were you a big fan at the time? Or?
I'm not a big fan, but I have got TP for my Cornolio.
Never ever say that again.
That's one for you fans. I've got a story about Beavis and Butthead actually. When I was a younger fella and I used to drink a bottle of Special Red and then go to the pub and then go to the local nightclub, which was called Kiss, for the student alternative type night on a Tuesday. The guy there that was the DJ used to play Cannonball by the Breeders every week, you know.
Mm, yeah.
And it's got the break in the middle where if you want, well, in that break, he always used to put a little bit of Beavis and Butthead. Crank it, dude, something like that. Yeah, that's a fascinating story for you. Friday night.
It's Lincoln Nightlife, you know, so, you know.
Friday night and all is well. I've had a glass of wine and I've gone to hell.
Is that your tune? Is that your new song?
It might be, actually. It's quite catchy.
Have you heard the next one? Mask, and that's spelled with M-A-S-K. Mobile Armored Strike Command.
You don't have to explain it to me. I remember Mass Crusaders, fighting overtime, crime, secret raiders, who will petrify and destroy. Map Tracker's gonna lead the mission, and Spectrum's got some supervision. Mask, and etc. And so it goes on.
And I kind of vague remember. I remember more Defenders of the Earth, more.
Defenders of the Earth.
That was a pretty good theme tune, like.
Yeah, well, Mask was better.
Oh, right. Well, it says here it was a hybrid of G.I. Joe and Transformers.
Yeah, I'd go with that.
Yeah, so that was
masks, you know. They were more helmets than masks, actually.
Well, it just sounds good, doesn't it? Mask.
Yeah, you know? It did stand for something. Mobile Armored Strike Command.
With a K.
Yeah. Otherwise, it would be Mask.
I like the fact it was also a toy line as well of the same name, because I think it's in the 80s, a lot of children's TV shows and stuff that linked in with trying to sell kind of shitty children's goods and that.
Yeah.
But anyway.
It was good mask. I had some mask toys. I had Gator, which was the orange, it was like an orange Jeep, and it sort of popped open and a little boat popped out the front of it with a fella in it. And my sister had one of the baddies. You see, now, I never got baddies when I was a kid. I always wanted the Autobots, and I wanted the good mask people, not the Spectrum people. Right?
Yeah.
Venom. It wasn't Spectrum. That was bloody someone else. I didn't want that, but my sister did. She got a really chunky, and it was quite heavy as well. I think I used it as a weapon. It was like a 4x4, and it had guns that popped out the back and stuff. It's pretty good.
I like the fact Venom stands for Vicious Evil Network of Mayhem.
That's
pretty good.
Yeah, that is good.
Yeah. It sounds like in this episode, all I'm doing is going, don't like this one. I haven't seen this one. But Rocky Horror Show, I suggest by Heather Johnson on Twitter.
Yeah.
I've never really got into it, and people are obsessed with it and love it and go and see the musicals and dress up and stuff. It is obviously very cult, obviously.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's like the ultimate cult, isn't it?
Mm. Richard O'Brien, you know, and whatnot. And
it wasn't his best work, because that was the Crystal Maze.
Actually, I liked him in Dog City, a film which I was going to mention in another podcast.
Mm.
I really like Dog City. Like, it's probably one of my sort of favourite culty films.
Never seen it.
It's worth a watch or two.
Oh, Rocky Horror Show. I think I've watched Rocky Horror Show recently, actually. And, I know what you mean. I've never got into it, but I don't know if... I was introduced to it when I was at school by people that were really over the top about it.
Mm.
And I think that put me off a bit. They were also into Monty Python, the same people. Yeah. And they were quite snobby about it. They didn't like other people getting into it. And I thought, well, if you're that much of a tit, I don't want to like your stupid stuff. And I think that stuck with me through my adulthood. So, yeah, I can watch it, and I can quite enjoy the foot tapping numbers, but I don't really want to own it.
Like, you would never get dressed up if you come to the Lincoln Empire or whatever, you know, doing all little characters and all that. One's like, oh, let's dress up. You wouldn't be like that.
I wouldn't get dressed up for that, no.
No. Well, what shows would you get dressed up for?
Cheers.
Cheers the Musical?
Yeah.
Wow, that'd be pretty interesting.
Dr. Snuggles, the musical.
Wow.
And...
Did you ever go to the Doctor Who The Ultimate Adventure in the late 80s?
No.
Because they had a bit of music singing in.
Was that the one with John Pertwee?
It was John Pertwee, and then Colin Baker took over when I went to see it. Yeah, yeah.
You went to see it? Bloody hell.
Hell yeah. I was, how old was I? I would have been like 7, and I got Colin Baker sent us a birthday card, and it wasn't even my birthday. No, it was. Mm-hmm.
I've had a tweet off 60 today.
Look at you.
Yeah, aha. Rubbing shoulders with the stars.
Jeezy crazy, what did you ask him? Are you going to be in the anniversary special?
No. Yeah. I was, you know, giving him a hand with a problem that he had.
Sounds really wrong, by the way.
Yeah.
Sort of like, you know. and another one from Heather Johnson as well. A thing which I wouldn't classically describe as cult, but she's put forward The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah, well, is it? Mm. It's got a lot of the factors that you'd expect a cult to have, hasn't it?
Mm, oh, yeah, totally. But it's just so massive. You can't really kind of... I mean, it's been going on for like a millions of years or something. So
Yeah, a million years, and it's been on all the next... I mean, oh, I don't know. Not as long as Star Wars.
23 seasons it's had up to now.
Phew. And I wonder what percentage... I know this is going to be objective, but I wonder what percentage of the output of The Simpsons has been hit or miss. I wonder what the ratio is.
I'm sure there'll be... I'm not a diehard. I mean, I watch it sporadically, but I know a lot of people, you know, get all the DVDs and stuff. But I'm told that recently, in the last 10 years or so, it's kind of really went down. You know, the substandard.
Really, that's bad, isn't it?
Well, yeah, there's a film as well. Which
I quite enjoyed the film.
I never saw the film. No, that was in 2007, wasn't it? And yeah, you know, it's one of those sort of things, but I wouldn't necessarily say it's particularly cult. I mean, I think Family Guy's more cult than Simpsons.
Yeah, I'd agree. I've got Family Guy DVDs, I don't have Simpsons DVDs. Mm. But that's not to say that I'm the arbiter of cult. I'm not.
No, you tried to be for a bit.
No, I'd just like to make my mind up before I've seen or heard anything.
Mm.
And then stick to it.
But yeah, but you know, Simpsons is it. I mean, there's no rules at the end of the day because Star Wars is obviously, as we've already said, is the classic one, so massively popular, but still very cult.
Yeah.
You know, The Matrix is another one, cult film, obviously massive, you know.
I watched the first one, I thought, yeah, that was all right, and I saw the second two in the cinema, and it nearly put me off life. I've never wanted to even go back and watch the first one again since.
I watched the first one recently again, and it's still brilliant. There's some lovely sequences in, but the second one, I think, was when he did that weird Superman-type CGI crap.
Yeah.
That was jumping the shark a little bit, you know.
Jumped into the shark.
Well, it just hurt your head, didn't it, really, what the hell was going on? And the last one is from a mate of mine, Ben Heath.
Well, The Simpsons. Let's finish on The Simpsons.
Oh, sorry.
You know, The Simpsons is... I would say of the ones that I've seen, it's got to be at least 80% hit rate. And it is very satirical, and I think it is very clever, and it is also got great songs, and it's very entertaining.
Hmm.
It's good.
Yeah. So would you class it as a big cult thing?
That's not for me to decide. Next!
Ben Heathcote has said Darkman. A 1990 American superhero film by Sam Raimi.
And it's got Liam Neeson in it.
It has indeed, yes.
Familiar.
Unable to secure the rights to either The Shadow or Batman, Raimi decides to create his own superhero and struck a deal with Universal to make his own Hollywood studio film. I didn't know there was sequels. I always like when there's sequels.
They're not good, though.
Have you actually seen them?
I think I might have seen the second one, and it's not brilliant.
Would you say it's worth a watch? Because I think I missed this one. Yeah.
Darkman's definitely pretty good.
Mm.
It's Sam Raimi. It's he's an odd fish. I follow Bruce Campbell on Twitter, and he's very funny.
Yeah.
But Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell—they've done some weird stuff.
Yeah.
Really weird stuff. Darkman is one of them, and then you know you think, well, he's quite a highly respected director now, isn't he? He did well with the Spider-Man franchise. I think Spider-Man 2 is one of my favourite films.
Bloody hell!
Evil Dead, you know, they're three good films. I love Army of Darkness and Evil Dead, all of them. But and then we're doing like Hercules and stuff like that, and Xena, and do you think, well, what a strange output the man has. But yeah, I can remember Darkman being pretty alright. That's as far as I'll go on that one.
It's apparently it pays homage to Universal's horror films in the 30s. Yeah. That should be interesting.
Yeah, it's worth a watch if you haven't seen it, definitely.
Yeah.
For sure.
Right, so thank you very much for these tweets. Keep them coming. So out of the ones we've talked about today, I think you may have a cheeky look at Happy Town, just maybe the first episode.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a look at Mysterious Cities of Gold, just to remember what I missed out on.
Yeah, do it.
Darkman would be a worth a look as well.
Yeah, definitely.
But yes, so we've covered the bases, so that's all good. Yeah, so you have a fun night and stuff, and I'll see you soon.
Thanks everyone for your tweets and stuff, and thank you Ian Todd for your undivided attention. If you like the cult, not the band, but cult stuff, listen to Cultism. EastEnders isn't a cult. EastEnders isn't a cult. EastEnders isn't a cult.